Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to chop up some good game as we always do. Let everybody know that we're live right now. I need y'all to retweet this. Repost it on your Facebook. Let everybody know that we're doing our thing right here live on YouTube and other places. While everybody's howling to come on in the room, we're going to take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And while we're taking that break, y'all can hit that like and subscribe button and that bell notification. And again, you can retweet this and let everybody know that we're live on Twitter. So you don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Having computer problems? Is your PC or Mac running slow? Need help building a gaming PC? Having problems with your Apple or Android device? Call or text Fix Too Fast. We can fix common and uncommon computer software issues remotely, anywhere, nationwide, from the comfort of your home or business. Are you having hardware issues with your PC or Mac? Ship it to us and we will ship it back fixed. Call 1-877-412-9890 or text 513-440-1646 to speak to a technician. Please visit our website at www.fixtoofast.net.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend
yourself
if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. But shout to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Thank you guys for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're here. A lot of good game we're going to chop up on today's broadcast about. Again, retweet this. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Let everybody know that we are doing our thing right here on Tariq Radio. I know I'm doing the main broadcast a little later in the week. I've been getting everything busy and prepared for tomorrow. Tomorrow is my birthday, guys. And you know what? Let me get on camera for the family. How about that? Let me get on camera for the family. How y'all doing? I can get on camera. You dig? I can hop on camera. How y'all doing, man? I'm here. So we're doing the show a little later this week. We've been getting stuff ready for my birthday bash tomorrow. Having a birthday party at the Hidden History Museum. It's going to be my birthday bash. Complimentary food. We'll always have good food there. We're going to have a poetry slam contest, and the registrations are closed. We've got enough poets. We've got a lot of good poets that's going to do their thing. They're going to compete for $500 cash. And we have a bunch of phenomenal comedians afterwards. So it's going to be a great event tomorrow night. Are you in LA? Where are my people in LA or California? Where are you? Y'all need to come down to the Hidden History Museum tomorrow. We do have tickets still available. Go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. All right? Get your tickets now. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. Going down tomorrow. My birthday tomorrow. Now, a lot of people asking, what kind of gifts do you want, Tariq? Well, it's going to be packed tomorrow night. It's going to be off the chain. It is going to be packed. It's going to be a fly night tomorrow night. A lot of people are asking, what kind of gift? You got a birthday gift? You know what the gift is? The gift is if you go to Hidden History Museum and you make a contribution to the museum so that we can help the community. That would be a great gift for me. If you want to give me a gift, contribute to the community by contributing to the Hidden History Museum. That would be my, that's an excellent birthday gift for me. That helps us out. That helps the community out. And I got to thank everybody, man. You guys helped me pay the salary of several of my Black employees. It helps a lot of people in the community, helps a lot of artists in the community. We have a lot of up-and-coming artists that we have perform at the museum. So that helps them. And it does a lot. So doing that, that would help. So, yeah. Make that contribution to the museum. That'd be my birthday gift. And also come on down. Come down tomorrow night if you're in town. If you are in town, y'all come on down to the museum and have a good time with us. It's going to be a fun time. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. You can get more information there. So let's get right into what we're talking about, family. As you guys know, the Supreme Court just basically scrapped affirmative action from being a factor to getting into higher education institutions. Now, this is going to start trickling down to other sectors of society, but they've basically struck affirmative action where there are not going to be race-based admissions or initiatives. So a lot of people are looking at the effect it will have on Black people. Because as we know, affirmative action was supposed to be corrective action for Black people, for what foundational Black Americans were going through after slavery and during the Jim Crow era. We were denied access to certain institutions and we were deprived of resources based on race. So when it was time to correct it based on race, they pulled kind of a whammy-bammy on us. So affirmative action was supposed to be for us, but they flipped it and remixed it and turned it into a minority program where it benefits all of these other groups. And we're the least of the beneficiaries for affirmative action. Yet they pretend that we have gotten these real big advantages because of affirmative action. Even though the dominant society knows that it benefits them and white women and other people more so than it has benefited us. They know this. They're very well aware of this. They are very well aware of this, ladies and gentlemen. But the thing is, the affirmative action thing today, well, this week, I won't say it didn't happen today, but this week, this was more of a symbolic undermining of Black people. This don't really affect foundational Black Americans the way y'all think it does. It really doesn't. I want people to understand, this don't really hurt us that much because the affirmative action and the race-based initiatives, a lot of that was, especially in California, that was knocked down years ago. Right, and they had, and I want y'all to see how they had Asians in the forefront of knocking down the affirmative action programs. They put Asians out there. They were funding Asians, saying that, hey, we shouldn't have race-based initiatives. Notice they're getting Asians and Latinos to do the dirty work for them. Why? Because the Asians, many of them don't want to have to, they can go out here now after they've benefited from a lot of race-based initiatives for being people of color. Now they have been moved closer to being honorary whites. You have Asian people, that includes the East Indians, the Kamala Harrises of the world, who now are classified as white. Yeah? So they get some of the secondary benefits from being classified as white. Not as much as the Anglo white people, but the whites and Hispanics, they can classify themselves as white, so they get some of the residual benefits from that. So yeah, they can say, hey, no more race-based initiatives, because being part of the white team, I'm going to automatically get certain benefits and privileges that the blacks don't get. So y'all better understand the game that's being played out here, ladies and gentlemen. The game is real. And the thing is, affirmative action, it doesn't really affect us. I say, to be honest, good riddance. I say good riddance to affirmative action. As our good brother Claude Anderson has been saying for years, we need to charge affirmative action to the game. It doesn't really benefit us anyway. The only black people who are getting benefits from affirmative action are non-FBA immigrants, to be honest. When they have certain quotas where they want to have black folks in certain schools, they make sure to cherry pick the non-FBA immigrant class, right? You go to these schools, the people who are benefiting are these non-FBA immigrants. We haven't benefited from no damn affirmative action in years. This doesn't affect us, family. We shouldn't even trip on this. This, it has not worked for us. Good riddance. So now, let's make it all lineage-based. This is why it was very important for the whole lineage-based conversation to be pushed to the forefront. That's why we've been pushing lineage-based benefits, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why they've been fighting against it. This is why. We knew that was coming. That's why we've been on our FBA vibe. Hey, we're talking about lineage, lineage, lineage. Oh, no, nigga, we're all black. No, 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 no. Lineage. All of us, you giddy. Oh, I black and racism. No, nigga. Lineage. We're on a lineage vibe. Why y'all think they're fighting us so much? Why y'all think they've been fighting us over this lineage thing? This is why. Because now we dodge that bullet. That's why we ain't tripping. They're tripping, the white LGBT, the white LGBT, the immigrant class. Many of them are tripping because now they ain't going to get the same, the benefits that they've been getting, that they've been wanting us to fight for. You got the Democrats running around here screaming, rolling, cursing everybody out. Everybody, y'all voted for Trump, can kiss my ass. Oh, Roland is cussing up a storm. Oh, I got to find the video of Roland. Roland has cursed everybody out this week. Oh, Roland is going on a profanity spree. Hold on. Well, I got to find that clip of Roland. Roland is just going off. Oh, Lord. Where's Roland? Where's that clip? Oh, where's that clip? I saw it. I should have saved it. Here it is. All right. All right, this is Roland. Roland, because Roland comes from an immigrant background, all right? And Roland's going off on everybody. Hold on, hold on, hold on. This is Roland, you know, when the Democrats take a hit. Hold on.
Anybody who's watching me right now, and anybody who's listening to me right now, if you chose to vote for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, you can kiss my black ass. Because all of those folks who got caught up in Bernie didn't get the nomination, they vote for Hillary. Guess what? That's how we got today's decision.
How about that?
And let me be perfectly clear, Hillary wasn't no perfect candidate.
No.
Ain't no perfect candidate. But I know she damn well was better and smarter than Trump.
Oh, Lord. Y'all not going to do that. Roland, we ain't buying it. Y'all not doing that. Y'all not about to scare us and curse us out. Nope. Oh, Roland has lost more hair strands today. Roland is losing all of his hair. Oh, boy, they're calling Roland. What happened, Roland? You should have whipped those Negroes into shape. You got to get out there and curse them out, Roland. We ain't tripping, dude. That affirmative action thing ain't, we ain't tripping on that. Y'all not gonna scare us. We didn't lose nothing. We didn't lose diddly squat. We haven't lost a damn thing. Good riddance to affirmative action. It was benefiting white women more than anybody. It was benefiting all of these other groups more than us. We weren't getting a damn thing from it. Let it go and burn in hell. Good. So now the new normal is lineage-based programs, and they cannot strike that down. They can't strike down the lineage-based programs because you already have all of these other groups who come from different lineages who get benefits based on the agreements that happen to the people from their lineage. Yeah? There's a reason why they're fighting so hard over us acknowledging our foundational Black American lineage. It is a group. No, it ain't no group. It's a lineage. That's why they want to fight us so much. That's called being on code, ladies and gentlemen. We are on code, and we're going to stick to our lineage claim. So get that affirmative action stuff out of here. When we're talking about lineage, especially our foundational Black American lineage, and we can remix it. We can say descendants of slaves. We can say descendants of freedmen. We can remix it. See, that's the good thing about codification. You can talk about the same thing, but use different wordings of it in certain settings that benefit you. That's a power move, especially when you start self-identifying. You come up with the terms and the words that you want to be used by. You see? See, the dominant society, they know how to switch up words and language when it benefits them, especially the white supremacists. The white supremacists know how to refine their tactics and strategies. See, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it was all about white power. They would be open about white power. The white man, white, whites only. White is right, young, white, and 21, free, white, and oh, they were just white, 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 white. They would wear the whiteness on their sleeve. After the 60s and 70s, it became a problem to be a white nationalist openly. So you had certain sectors of people who stayed with the white nationalist agenda openly, but they had to retweak their words, as Atwater said. They had to speak in codes. So now you have a white supremacist who will sit up here and just act like he ain't even white. So when you say, hey, man, are you practicing white supremacy? No, dude, I'm not even white. I'm Cherokee. I'm not white, dude. I'm Hispanic. How can I be a white supremacist, dude? I'm Italian. So they'll play that game, the whole denial of whiteness game, as long as they can run game on us. Like I said, this whole thing with them gutting affirmative action, this was more of a symbolic undermining of us. In the minds of the dominant society, they stuck it to us to a certain degree. They think that they're sticking it to us, but not really. You've already stuck it to us. So this ain't the flex they think it is. It's not the flex they think it is. We're all about lineage-based benefits and preferential treatment and corrective treatment. We're all about lineage-based corrective treatment. So now we're going to talk about reparations, things that go specifically to foundational Black Americans. This is why I just did an interview with some immigrant host, and the whole argument was about, well, you know, our families came over here after slavery, but we still suffered from the effects of slavery, so we should get some reparations too. Absolutely not. Nope. We cannot make it race-based. It will be struck down. Absolutely. This is why. We cannot say we're going to give reparations to people just because they come over here and they're Black, because then it can be, well, hell, I'm Hispanic, but I have a Black abuela, and I experienced racism in the 1940s. No, we're not doing the whole save everybody from racism thing. That's another form of affirmative action. We're not doing that. Everything is going to be a lineage-based corrective action treatment. And we're not going to let people try to shame us. And when I was doing the interview with these non-FBA co-hosts, they were saying, well, you know, they were saying the normal, well, how are we going to do lineage-based reparations and lineage-based benefits? All, you know, so many records were destroyed. How could people trace back there? It's going to be so hard, God, to trace your lineage back. It's so hard and so difficult. Speak for yourself. That's a con game. It is not hard for foundational Black Americans to trace our lineage back. It's not hard for us at all. Don't ever let nobody run that game. We can trace our lineage back very easily. Damn near all of us. We know our background. We know how to trace our lineage back. We're not confused about our lineage and how to trace our lineage back. Most of us and most of you guys in here, you can at least go back to the 1800s. Many of us in the 1700s. Some of us can go to the 1600s. Yeah? We have no problem. We can do this. We got all our records. I got mine going back to the 1750s. Don't let nobody run that game. That's a projection, man. They're the ones who don't have records of their lineages because most of their countries have been colonized over and over again. So the records have been destroyed and transferred. So they don't have records now. They can't trace their stuff back. We can trace ours back easily. And also a part of foundational Black American culture. Man, do y'all, who got the old school grandmas and the moms? Do y'all know how our mamas and them keep records? Man, you go to your grandma's house, she got everything pertaining to the family under her damn mattress. You go to some of our grandparents' homes, man, you go look under the mattress, they got everybody's documents, dude. Man, my mom got my report card from the second grade. Our families, we know how to keep some damn records. We're well documented, dude. Our parents and grandparents, you go up in the attic, they got all types of stuff from the Jim Crow era, stuff from World War II, great-granddad birth certificate, everybody's tuberculosis record. We got all of that stuff, dude. We got it in Bibles, under mattresses, under quilts. We got all of that stuff, dude. Our family keeps records. We made it a point to have to keep our records very close to us. That comes out of slavery because remember, in slavery, when we were free, the free Black people, and when we traveled, we had to have documents. We had to make sure our paperwork was in order when we traveled. So we made it a point to have the correct paperwork on us. We made it a point to have our paperwork in order, dude. Dude, my mom got shit that I had when my mom got pockets of my hair, my footprints at two, my report cards through elementary school. She has all that now. Yeah. Our FBA family keep records, dude. We keep obituaries. We keep records, dude. Yeah, we got military trunks with stuff. Man. So yeah, we know how to keep records. So don't let them run that game. We know we can go back. So it's not a problem for us whatsoever. It is not a problem for us to go back. But so it's very important for us to stay codified. It's very important for us to stay on our lineage vibe. And you understand the importance of our foundational Black American culture and foundational Black American lineage because of what we just saw this week with this affirmative action thing being struck down. That's why we can't do the big kumbaya thing. See, everybody wants to do the kumbaya thing where we all claim to be minorities and of diversity and all that so that we, foundational Black Americans, do all the work and we do all the stomping and everybody else can benefit from it. So now they keep trying to draw us into the affirmative action conversation because all of these other groups are taking hits now because of affirmative action. They are taking hits now. So they got to prop us up. Oh God, especially the white liberals. Oh God, look at what you're doing to the Black people. This is horrible. They're not going to be able to make it. Oh God. No. This is going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you more than us. Y'all have already dumped on us. So yeah, affirmative action can go by the wayside. Because now, listen, we got to really get on code with what we do and how we get down, because they're trying to remix history. They're trying to rewrite history. And we can't let them do that, family. We see that, especially down in Florida. They're taking books out of schools. They're taking books out of the public. They're getting rid of books pertaining to Black history, real Black history. And understand, when they start doing that, when they start removing books and they make that normalized, that means they're trying to hide something. And then when they start hiding the truth, that means they're going to start normalizing lies. Did y'all see the video I posted of this white man, this white reverend, giving a sermon? And this dude is remixing history in a way that's so damn ridiculous, it almost seems like a parody. Listen to how this suspected white supremacist reverend, this is a reverend who's remixing history, talking about slavery. This dude, he has to be making this up as he goes along. But this is how heavy these people will start lying. Listen to this guy here. Now, he's talking about how slavery ended. Listen to this revisionist nonsense. Listen to this. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me get the sound right. Hold on.
150 years ago, or 200 years ago, when the blacks were slaves, did they ever go to Washington, D.C. and have a rally 200 years ago to protest against slavery?
What kind of question is that? What kind of question, did we go to Washington to protest slavery? No, because we couldn't leave the plantations, fool. If we left the plantations, they would kill us. No, if we left the plantation, they had a whole industry called slave catchers who would be incentivized to kill us if we ran off the plantation to do that. So what is he talking about? No, we didn't go to Washington to protest, because, yeah, we would have been killed. That's why we had to go to places like the swamp and hide out when we left the plantation. The hell is he talking about? All right, let me play. I'm going to break all this stuff down. Hold on. Let me play some more. Hold on. All right.
It's against slavery. Did they? No. What did they do? Well, a lot of good people in the plantations would say, hey, it's winter time. Let us help build a church for you, dear folks.
Oh, we gotta break. I'm gonna break everything down real slow. He said the good people on the plantation. You mean slave owners? I want y'all to understand who he's talking about. Slave owners. They're the good people. There was only two people. Well, three people on the plantation: Black people who were enslaved, the white overseers who would beat us and make us work, and the slave owners who hired the white overseers. Only three people. So, the good people he's talking about are the slave owners and the white overseers who beat us. These are the good people he's talking about. You see? These are the good people he's talking about. And the good people on the plantations, that's who he's talking about. The slave owners and the ones who whipped us. Okay? Hold on. Let me play the rest.
Plantations would say, well, a lot of good people in the plantations would say, hey, it's winter time. Let us help build a church for you, dear folks. And they loved them and taught them how to read so they can read the Bible.
What? And they loved us and taught us how to read so we can read the Bible. What? No, they didn't. They taught one person to read. That would be the Black preacher. All of us couldn't read. They made it illegal for us to read. We would get maimed or killed if we learned how to read. Reading was illegal. What is he talking about? You see how these people will try to remix history? They loved us. I love you, but I'm going to rape you and beat you and work you to death. What kind of love is that? These people are sick with the way they will sit up here and lie. Hold on. I mean, it's just lie on time. And he knows he's lying. Hold on.
Let us help build a church for you, dear folks. And they loved him and taught him how to read so they can read the Bible. And here's what the blacks did about 150 years ago. They humbled themselves. They prayed. They sought God's face and they turned from their wicked ways. And God made slope.
What? Black people humbled themselves? Humbled ourselves. And black slaves turned away from their wicked ways? So the people who were forced to work and forced to be raped by the white supremacists, whose children were snatched from them and sold by the white supremacists, the victims of that were wicked? It was the black people who had wicked ways, not the white supremacists who were raping and selling kids and raping the kids. Okay. So we were the wicked ones. We had to humble ourselves from being abused and whipped. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's hear what he has to say. Okay.
Read so they can read the Bible. And here's what the blacks did about 150 years ago. They humbled themselves. They prayed. They sought God's face and they turned from their wicked ways. And God made slavery illegal through several white presidents, right?
What?
It worked, didn't it? They didn't protest.
Wow. Family. Boy. So this is why us teaching history on our own terms is very important. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why the Hidden History Museum is important. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, family? This is the reason why we have a museum that's speaking the truth. Because of this, ladies and gentlemen, the institutions that allow people like this white supremacist suspect to get up here, because they'll start teaching this nonsense in school, and this is what they want to teach in school. This is what they low-key teach to some of our kids. I want y'all to understand, 150 years ago on a plantation, the white supremacists were talking just like that. This is how they were talking 150 years ago to black people on plantations. They were talking to them the same way. You guys are wicked. Yeah, we're going to help you from your wicked ways, and we're going to build a church and teach you about Jesus so you can stop being so wicked. Just humble yourself and don't rise up against us, and the Lord is going to bless you. That's how they talked then. That's exactly how they talked then. Yeah? They don't want us to turn up on them. So this is why it's important for us to get the history right and to get the knowledge right and to dictate the terms of how history will be taught. This is why it's important for us to control the media narrative. This is why a lot of people have been so harsh on the recent BET Awards. Horrible. People are still talking about the degrading images from the BET Awards that happened last week. People are still talking about it. And those derogatory images that were shown around the world. The BET thing was a very bad look. It was low even by BET standards, what we saw going on at the BET Awards. This stuff right here, BET has to be checked on that. Broadcasting that type of degradation of black people, particularly sisters, that's a dangerous narrative to broadcast around the world. That plantation filth that we saw, that was the BET Award. This type of stuff here. You dig? this type of stuff right here is what they were showing right here. Right here. This right here is horrible.
Yeah.
This right here is horrible. Family, family, that right there, that nonsense being broadcast around the world, BET has to be called out for that, family. A pregnant hood, that image, that looks like plantation nonsense. That was dehumanizing. Everything about the BET Awards this year was dehumanizing. It was styled by Fashion Nova and catered by Hot Cheetos. That was a horrible look. And it was all over the place. They really didn't have a host. You had them twerking all in the aisle, hood ratting it up all over the aisle, being ratchet. The chick, the city girl, her and Lil Uzi Vert, they fighting in the audience. She threw a phone at him. Ratchetness all over the place. And they had Trina up there. She was up there. And she had on an outfit where people thought she was pregnant. Her stomach was all. It was, and I love Trina. I like Trina. I really like Trina. I like Trina. So they had Trina up there. People were like, is she pregnant? What's going on? Her stomach. It was rumors. Like, is she pregnant? Hold on. They're like, this outfit she has on, she looked like a Mexican trapeze artist. And I love Trina. Hold on. Let me play poor Trina. She performing. People thought she was pregnant. What was going on? Now, people weren't styling their outfits correctly. She looks like a stuffed tamale. And Trina's a beautiful girl. They needed a stylist there. This ain't it. Your gut hanging over like this, that's not it. There should have been some stylist on deck, man. This is a beautiful sister. She should not have gone out like that. This is what I'm talking about. This was not it. This was not it. That wasn't it, man. That wasn't it. And that kind of image, that can't be normalized. And what I don't like, people trying to justify that ratchet nonsense by saying, well, everybody, it was ratchet, but it was fun. Everybody had fun. No, this whole thing where acting a goddamn buffoon is the idea of fun. You don't supposed to do dumbass stuff just because it's fun. All right? You don't stain the collective ideological view of the group because you want to have some damn fun. Because you've grown up in a ratchet household where looking like a damn buffoon has been considered fun to you. Yeah? The fact that we think pregnant people twerking on each other is fun is a problem. Yeah? It's not fun. And now we have to take the brunt of y'all acting a damn buffoon out of the whole thing of you having fun. You have to sacrifice the collective narrative of black people so that your ass can have some damn fun acting a fool. No. No. Children think like that. I'm just going to do something stupid, but at least it's fun. Children sit up eating candy all day because it's fun. Yeah, you're going to get sick and you're going to get cavities, but damn it, I had fun eating all this damn candy because I'm a baby. Yeah, children think like that. Children think about doing goofy shit just for fun, doing detrimental things just for fun. Yeah? Adults don't do stupid ass stuff under the guise of, well, I'm just having fun and I'm going to do it and damn everything to hell. Yeah. We got to get out of this infantile, childlike 13th grade mentality. Everybody wants to be in the 13th grade. Don't nobody want to grow up and be the adults in the room. And that's what happened with BET that week. There were no adults in the room. It became just an elementary school class clown fest. Yeah? Not a good look. Not a good look at all. Because, see, everybody wants to be goofy and twerk and act a plantation buffoon fool right until something happens to somebody in their family. And the minute something happens to somebody's family member, they want to stop being ratchet and then start calling us. Oh, damn. Hey, Tyreek. Can you help me? Can you help get our GoFundMe for my cousin who had just got killed by the police? We need some justice. Y'all want to start getting your minds right when something happens to you. And that's only temporary. Yeah, you want to get conscious until the Ben Crump check come through. Yeah, when something happens to the family member, you want to be ratchet, ratchet, ratchet until the family member gets harmed. And then all of a sudden, you want to be a Hebrew Israelite for a week. You walking around with a turban and a fez for a week, calling all of us to get us to fight for you. And then the Ben Crump check comes through and all of a sudden you got the money phone in your hand again. Do you love me? Do you love me? Now you ratchet again. Right when the check come, you conscious for a week, you wearing a turban for a week, and when the check come, all of a sudden now you done got a Dominican blowout and now you got the money phone and you acting a goddamn fool again. Stop it. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. But look, we got to be on top of our game. Going back to the affirmative action thing. And by the way, everybody who's coming in here, if you just got in here, remember I'm having a birthday party out here in Los Angeles tomorrow at the Hidden History Museum. Get your tickets below. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. Get your tickets below at the Hidden History Museum. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about affirmative action and how it affects black people, we're not tripping on it. See, we got to get on top of our game and we have to start speaking on things and supporting things that are based on the black community and based on our lineage. Because what happens is we start to allow all of these other groups to co-opt our culture. And then when people start co-opting our culture, they start gatekeeping our culture. Going back to BET, I want y'all to understand that BET and certain networks, a lot of the gatekeepers are non-FBA people. I've been to some of these meetings at these black networks. You have a bunch of Caribbeans and African immigrants who are the gatekeepers at these black entertainment industries and also these black publications, Ebony and Madame Noir and all of that stuff. The white supremacists made sure to have immigrants as the gatekeeper of this stuff. Essence, and by the way, Essence, you know, they've had immigrants running that for a minute, by the way. That's by design. Even remember Susan Taylor? And she's a lovely lady. Susan wasn't a bad sister. Susan Taylor was running Essence for a long time. She's an immigrant. You know, Susan, she had somewhat of some respect for the culture of our foundation of Black American culture. But remember, Essence was run by Susan Taylor for years, and she's from the Caribbean. Her family's Caribbean. Yeah. So they knew putting folks like that in certain positions, you know, they would have some non-FBA people as gatekeepers of the culture. They've always had that. Now, Bun B, rapper Bun B down in Texas, he did an interview and he was talking about how a lot of the people who purchase hip hop are actually Mexican people, Latinos. Some people got upset with him, but what he said was actually true. And I've said this before. The hip hop game now, it's, to be honest, it's being gatekept by the Hispanics. They're gatekeeping a lot of the entities as far as hip hop, and they're one of the biggest audience groups, the biggest purchasing group for hip hop are Latinos, whites and Latinos, and whites are amalgamated into, Latinos are amalgamated into white society. Let me play this interview of Bun B, because what Bun B said in this interview was actually very true, and I've said this too, talking about how Mexican-Americans, Mexican people are some of the biggest consumers of hip-hop. Listen to this. This is heavy. He's saying something real. We're going to break it down. Hold on.
You have a product or you present something to the public, 9 times out of 10, Mexican-Americans are going to be your not only your biggest customer base, but also your most consistent customer base. You know what I'm saying? That's just math. That's just basic math. And to not acknowledge that, when we're talking about hip hop, look, if you make Houston rap music, nobody buys more of your music than Mexicans. No one comes to your shows more than Mexicans. No one buys more of your merch more than Mexicans. Play your music. It's a numbers thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's important that we acknowledge their participation and their love of the culture. So I wanted to make sure that when Houston hip hop was on that stage at the rodeo, that a Mexican American could look at that stage and see themselves on that stage. Have a product.
Okay, now the last part might have been a little problematic, all right? Now, the last part might have been a little problematic. You can look at yourself and see yourself on the stage. The last part might have been problematic, but what he's saying is true. Let's as far as the consumer, especially in Texas, especially in California, hell, and even New York, too. Yeah? Listen, they do buy a lot of the records. If you go to a hip-hop concert, dude, there's a lot of whites and Hispanics in there. Let's be cool. No, they didn't invent no hip hop. No, but they are the consumers of hip hop. They are big consumers of hip hop because it's not their culture. They soak it in more. They're more interested in it. But yeah, if you go to rap concerts, the people who are buying those tickets to those rap concerts, especially out here, Hispanics. In Texas, Hispanics. I'm just telling you the numbers. That's real. Well, you know, somebody said not in Chicago. No. Chicago is different. In certain cities like Atlanta and whatever, I mean, certain major black cities, that's a little bit different. But out here in California, in the western states, out here, you go to any rap concert, for the most part, man, it's going to be them white people and a whole bunch of Hispanics out there. That's why West Coast artists, they don't say anything about racism coming from the Hispanic community. That's why they make these records pandering to the Hispanics. Ay Caramba. And you look at a lot of West Coast rap artists, they make a lot of records pandering. Hell, even our brother Ice Cube did like a record with a mariachi band, with a mariachi. Remember? Ice Cube did a mariachi record. Yeah, that's real. Out here in California, the biggest audience for hip hop, the Mexican cats, they will be at them concerts by the thousands. Coachella, they're out there by the thousands. When they do concerts out here, it is the Hispanics that's going out there paying for those tickets. The black artists are eating off the Hispanic audience. That's the truth. And Snoop did a record, Vato. That's just the truth. This even goes back to the 80s. I remember, man, when NWA and Easy and those guys were first coming out in 87, we would drive down Hollywood Boulevard. It'd be a bunch of Hispanics and the Nissan trucks bumping boys in the hood. So that's true. That is true. That doesn't, I don't think you have to pander to people, but you, that is the biggest audience. See, they get, the problem is when you start trying to pander to the audience, I don't think you have to do that. And here's the thing. Because the audience is primarily Hispanic, also on the West Coast and on the East Coast, especially New York, and even Texas, at some of these radio stations, many of the DJs are Hispanic at these hip-hop stations, and all of the program directors are Hispanic. This is a fact. All right? You go to these radio stations, the people in charge of programming the music, they are Hispanic at these hip-hop radio stations. You turn on Power 106, what DJ is not Hispanic on Power 106? Yeah? Power 106 pretty much got all Hispanic DJs. These are facts. The program directors are Hispanic. So, Hot 97 out there, you got Hispanic. All of these radio stations on the East, you got a lot of Hispanic folks. Yeah, a lot of these black rap artists, they go to the Lowrider show, so they have a huge Hispanic audience base. Yeah? And now that there are so many Hispanics that are gatekeeping the radio industry and a lot of the concert part of the game, now a lot of them are starting to pull rank. Yeah, Big Boy is the only black morning show DJ on a hip-hop station out here now, right? So now, because they understand their position, they know that black folks, in order to get their records played on hip-hop stations, you got to go through that Hispanic gatekeeper program director. So now you'll have the Fat Joes coming out here. They see the coast is clear. Yeah, we created hip-hop 50-50. And then you have a lot of Negroes in the industry afraid to say something. Because now they speak out against the lies that some of these Hispanic guys are spewing. Only a few. Now you don't want to offend that program director. You dig? Now you don't want to mess your tour money up. Like Grandmaster Caz. When Grandmaster Caz came out and told the truth, he said, you know what? In the early days of hip-hop, there weren't really no Hispanics out there, no Latinos dudes. He told the truth. There weren't no Latino dudes out there when we first started. It was like one or two. They came later. So after some years passed, our brother Cass must have realized, hey, saying that, some of that tour money might dry up because those old-school hip-hop artist tours, those are usually by Hispanic audiences. Yeah? The people who pay to see some of those old hip-hop artists, a lot of Hispanics. So when they go on the road, usually they go with the Rocksteady crew. They go out on the road with Crazy Legs. They do like a whole old-school tour, and there's a big Hispanic audience. So Kaz and all of those guys, they're eating off the Hispanic audience. So they got to watch their mouths and not tell the truth and try to make everybody inclusive. Yeah, hip hop is for everybody. Y'all keep booking me for these shows. Yeah, that's how they get shows, by making everything inclusive, knowing that they got a crowbar some type of inclusion for Latinos in hip hop origin story, which isn't true. So this is why they have to start saying, there were some Latinos who was there in the Bronx. What were they doing? Well, you had Joe Conzo taking pictures. So now they got this weak, pandering tie-in they have to do in order to pander to that audience that's feeding them. Yeah. Somebody said it's selling out. Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah. But, to be honest, there's a lot of black folks don't support those old school artists. To be honest. So listen, let's be real. Let's if you're an old school artist, you are a 70-year-old guy who was one of the founders in the 1970s. You're 69, 70 years old right now. You barely getting a Social Security check. And black folks ain't really checking for you. Well, they say, yeah, you an old school rapper. You were rapping in the 70s at parties, and you know, black folks ain't even acknowledging you. You're like, yeah, he's a legend, but yeah, all right. But you say, hey, ain't nobody doing nothing for the legend. Yeah? And then some white Hispanic promoters want to take you overseas with the Rocksteady crew to do an old school tour, and they want to give you $10,000-$20,000 a pop. What you think those Negroes gonna say? They gonna be like, a Latino was in the house. Latinos, come on and turn it out. You know, they gonna start pandering, unfortunately. That's why we gotta kind of take care of our folks so they ain't gotta get out here pandering to Crazy Legs and all these guys and peddling lies. Yeah, we abandon a lot of the old school artists. We ain't trying to see them, which we should. We should have a certain level of respect for them. Yeah? But some of those other people, especially when they go overseas, those guys, they go overseas and they do great. They do great overseas, man. Yeah? So we got to support the folks. Got to support them. So they ain't backpedaling and trying to tie in the Latinos to our origin story. It's okay to say that, hey, Latinos were the first students of hip-hop. We ain't got to get out here lying, talking about they helped create hip-hop. We ain't got to do that. It's okay to be a student of black culture. Because to me, it's divisive to try to take our culture and co-opt it for yourself, knowing that you didn't create anything that's a part of our culture. That's very divisive because it undermines us and it has an anti-black undertone. So we have to force people to respect our culture. So I don't panda, damn that. Look, my books, The Art of Mackin, let me tell you something. It was white and Hispanics buying my books. They still buy my books. They buy my books to this day. Yeah, I sold hundreds of thousands of books. And it was white people buying the books. And which is good. I like that. I spend that white money, but damn, I'm not going to pander. And I still tell white supremacists about themselves. And let me tell you something. I still go in on white supremacy. I'll tell the white supremacists about themselves. And let me tell you something. They still support. They still support my stuff. There's a bunch of white supremacists in here now. Yeah? There's a bunch of white supremacists watching this video right now. Even though they hate that I go in on them, they respect it. They respect what I do. You don't think them white supremacists buy my movies? And I make movies going in on them. Oh, they study me like crazy. I make movies going in on them and their culture. Buck Breaking went in on white supremacist culture. I went in on the white supremacists. Buck Breaking was my most successful movie. Do you know that? The Buck Breaking was more successful than some of the Hidden Colors movies. My most successful movie was Buck Breaking. And I went in on the white supremacists. My gardener is outside very loud right now. Y'all might hear him. But boy, the white supremacists bought Buck Breaking in droves. They bought that movie in droves. Because they know I was standing the truth. Yeah, the enemies, yeah, they respect my stuff because they know they're going to come to me for the real because everybody respects honesty. No matter what, everybody's going to respect honesty. And they know I'm not going to pander to them. You come to me, you're going to get the rough, rugged, and raw. You're going to get the honest truth from me. I ain't pandering to shit. You're going to get all the honesty from me. And people can respect that. They can respect that. Yeah? And that's very important. That's why we're going to make a Buck Breaking 2. Buck Breaking 2, I'm going to really go in. Buck Breaking 2 is going to be a doozy. But I got to do this hip-hop documentary first. I got to get this hip-hop documentary popping because that's very important because they're really trying to rewrite the hip-hop narrative, and we got to cut that nonsense out. We got to stop that. Well, we got a lot of people in here, man. Share. Hit the share button. Let everybody know that we're live now. Retweet this. Put this on your Twitter. Retweet this, everybody, and let everybody know that we're live right now. But family, there's a lot of stuff going on out here that we have to call out. This affirmative action thing, they're making it seem like, oh, it's really going to hurt us. It's going to hurt a lot of these other groups, some of these white LGBT people, some of that stuff. There's going to be a big backlash because of that, too. See, that's why they need us to sit up here and stump for this affirmative action and all of these diversity programs. I say we should leave all these diversity programs alone and just be on our lineage kick. Because now you had all, you got all these other groups, especially the white LGBT community, trying to piggyback a lot of that degenerate stuff on us, and we're not allowing it to happen, and we're letting that stuff fall by the wayside. So now the stuff that they're doing is going to fall off. I'm going to have to do a whole broadcast about some of the stuff that's going on. I'll probably do it Sunday. Just really talking about some of the stuff going on with the white LGBT stuff and some of the Satanism and stuff that's being tied in. It's some real heavy stuff. But some of this stuff is so ridiculous. Let me play this clip. Shout out to Nikki the God. She put this clip up. Shout out to my sister. Everybody say what's up to Nikki the God. She's in the room. There's a clip she posted of a transgender person who was upset because they, I don't know what pronouns to use, they went to a gynecologist, and now this transgender person is upset because the gynecologist told them, or him, I just say him, that, hey, I can't really do nothing with you. So now this person is talking about they're being discriminated against. See, they're using our civil rights claim for this type of damn nonsense. They're using our fight for justice to piggyback on it so they can sit here and act like they're aggrieved by this type of nonsense right here, family. Listen to this. Hold on.
Because I need to be checked, you know, I mean, they got to use a fucking speculum, they've got to take a sample, that type of thing, check for tears, blah blah blah, right? I mean, makes sense. And so what they had said to me is like, well, we don't do that here. And I'm like, but you're a gynecologist office, why wouldn't you? Well, we don't treat trans patients, so you're discriminating against me is what you're telling me, you know. My female doctor in Toronto would have taken you in a heartbeat, damn. Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. I am pretty fucking pissed. You know, it's so hard to find a fucking, like, a gynecologist that can...
The only thing that's so hard is your penis.
And, like, even work with me, you know? And I don't understand it. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know and don't nobody else know. What you want a gynecologist to do? Nigga, the root word of gynecologist is gyno. That means female. What you want them to do? Really, what do you want a gynecologist to do to your body? You have male body parts. What do you want them to do? So you want them to use clamps and clips. What you want is a prostate exam, basically. You need to go to a male doctor. Somebody said, is that Ann Coulter? He wants a prostate exam. That's all they can do. Nobody can do anything with you medically. What's a gynecologist going to do with you, sir? What are they going to do? A pussy cleanse? What are they going to do? Yeah. The root word is gyno. So yeah, it's just insanity that these folks are clamping this stuff onto us. They want us to help them fight for this nonsense. It's insane, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, man, listen, my birthday party is tomorrow night. I'm having a birthday party at the Hidden History Museum tomorrow night. I need family. I need y'all to come on through. We're going to have a phenomenal time at the Hidden History Museum tomorrow night, family. It's going to be off the chain. It's going to be popping. The website is hiddenhistorymuseum.com. Y'all come on down. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have my birthday party. We're going to have complimentary food for my sister, her Meek Mills truck. We got great food. We're going to have vegan options, ladies and gentlemen. We're very reasonably priced to get in. We're going to have a poetry slam contest where we're giving somebody $500 for the best poetry slam artist, and we're going to have you, the audience, judge. Then we're going to have a comedy show hosted by my brother, Dwan B. It's going to be off the chain. Great music. Great night tomorrow night. Y'all need to come on through. 2131 West Jefferson Boulevard here in Los Angeles, the Hidden History Museum. Get your tickets now, hiddenhistorymuseum.com. And for those who want to give me a birthday gift, the birthday gift is a contribution to the Hidden History Museum. That would be a great gift for me. Go to hiddenhistorymuseum.com and give a gift to the museum so that we can continue to help the community, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's been it for today's broadcast, family. It's been real. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Y'all have a good evening. I will see you guys tomorrow night here in LA at the museum. Peace.